Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
But I want you to see something, and really, if you will, I always say this, I geek out on these things because I just love the Word of God. And we're going to see something, again, that God put in His Word, and if you will, put in Stephen's argument. And it is related to Palm Sunday. So, if you will, we're in Acts chapter 7, and we'll start at the verse 9. And the patriarchs becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now a famine and a great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out for his fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and all his relatives to him, 75 people. So Jacob went down to Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We just rejoice in that. So, Father, we just ask your blessing upon this time as we get into your word. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith this morning as we are listening to your word, as we're hearing, as we're being taught your word by your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that our faith would grow stronger. Bless this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Joseph, again, discussing with these gentlemen that the very ones that they hold in high esteem, the sons of Jacob, or if you will, the sons of Israel, what they do, they became envious of Joseph and sold him into slavery. Notice again that he went to Egypt. It wasn't this land, it was a different land in Egypt, and the Lord was with him in Egypt. Look at verse 10. And delivered him out of all his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now, it's interesting, just take note, that word for, again, trouble, delivered him out of all his trouble, is actually the word tribulation. Delivered him out of all his tribulation. Delivered him out of all his struggles. But notice something else. He ended up being at the right hand of Pharaoh. He was blessed out of the promised land. Look at verses 11 and 13. Now a famine and a great trouble. Excuse me, I messed up. No, I didn't. That word trouble again is tribulation. It's twice. Excuse me. Now it's the great tribulation came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And the second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to the Pharaoh. There was a famine, great trouble, great tribulation over all the land of Egypt and Canaan. Jacob sent out his fathers, Joseph's brothers, children of Israel. The first time they did not recognize who Joseph was. Look at verse 14. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and all his relatives to him. 75 people. Joseph called his family to him. Look at verses 15 and 16. So Jacob went down to Egypt and he died, he and our fathers, and they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. So Jacob and his sons, Israel, the fathers of the tribes of Israel, died out of Israel, the land of promise, and they were brought back and buried in the land of promise. Now you're going, okay, so you're going with this. All right. This is where I geek out. Now, I'm not going to go over all this in the sense that I won't give you, I'll give you all the verses. If you want the verses later, you can find them yourself. But I'll give you a clue. It's really all this is found in Genesis chapter 37 to 42 and through the Gospels. Do your homework. I'm ready to give you a bunch of stuff. Are you ready? Do you want to sit down? Oh, you are sitting down. I want you to see something, that Joseph was a foreshadow or a type of Christ. And it's interesting that Stephen brings him up and says, you did not recognize him the first time, which we will get back to about Palm Sunday. But I want you to notice these things that, again, that Joseph did and happened to him that correlates or is, again, a type of things that were going to happen to Jesus himself. Number one, did you notice he was taken to Egypt? Well, when Jesus was a child, he was taken to Egypt. They both regarded themselves as shepherds. They both were beloved of their fathers. They both were sent by their fathers to their brethren. They both were hated by their brethren without a cause. Both were plotted against by their own brethren. They both were severely tempted. They both were around 30 years old at the beginning of their ministry. They both were sold for the price of a slave. They both were bound. They both were falsely accused. They both remained silent and offered no defense. They both were stripped of their robes. They both were respected by their jailers. Remember the centurion? Every time I think of the centurion, I think of John Wayne. Because in the story of all stories, I can't remember what the title of the movie was, but a movie about Jesus. John Wayne was the centurion, and he had one line. Surely, this was the Son of God. What? Again, thank you for laughing, wife. Again, both respected by their jailers. Both were placed with two prisoners. One would be saved. One would die. Remember the cupbearer? Baker. Both were placed in the earth, left for dead. Both were removed from their earthly grave. Both were highly exalted after their sufferings. Joseph at the right hand of Pharaoh. Could somebody please answer that? Brian's going to answer it. Pharaoh. Joseph was at the right hand of Pharaoh. Jesus, the right hand of God. Both took non-Jewish brides. Behold the church, made of Jew and Gentile. Both were not recognized the first time. See, Stephen was probably there. Are you there on 19 now of Luke? Starting at verse 35. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes, that's the donkey, clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on them. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice, praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." You did not recognize me. You did not see for who I am. Only what you projected and hoped and wanted me to be. See the connection? Now, understand something. It's not over there. See, the second time Joseph revealed himself to them. Now, if you will, in Zechariah 12:3, I'm going to read this kind of extended, but bear with me. "And it shall happen in that day I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day," further down, "the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. And I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name, and I will answer. I will say, 'This is my people,' and each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" And going to Romans 11, it says, "And so all Israel will be saved as written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away the ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." So just as Joseph's brothers did not recognize Joseph, Israel as a nation did not recognize their own Messiah. But again, as it says in Scripture, just as Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, Jesus would reveal himself to the nation Israel. And they both delivered their brothers from a great tribulation. And they both brought their family to be near them. Jesus says this, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also." In Revelation 3:10, he says, "Because you have kept my command to preserve, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Again, as the picture is here, it is for us to grasp, to hold on to, and be encouraged. Though things seem so dire and things can look so depressing when you look at the world, our Lord reigns and He shall come back again. And when He returns, it's just like we sang in this song, that we are ready, we're waiting. We see the world as it is, and He will make it right. He will. And things will be turned. That a lamb will lay next to a wolf, an ox and a lion. There will be peace throughout the world. But see, again, take note. This is what we want to grasp onto. These amazing things that were written so many years ago in a life of a person that in his life he didn't think it meant much. In fact, through the struggles and trials, he understood one thing, that he was in that position to save his brothers. That God ordained it. And because of that, he was able to deliver his brethren from the famine and the great tribulation that was upon the land at that time. But it's to us to take note that no matter what you're going through, he has come to deliver you. Yes, I ultimately believe, as you know, that he takes us out of this place before his wrath. But still, many of us go through tribulation now. His desire for each of us is, do we see him for who he is? Or are we projecting him to be something that he is not? The deliverer comes, and he comes for us. As we were singing, if you will, it's so gracious that we have such a blessed time of worship in this place. We do. That we cry, Hosanna. That we cry, praise God. That we pray all blessing and honor to him who is worthy. It is a truth that should carry us not only in this place, but every day. And yet, I know it's a struggle for all of us. But the reality is that he has come to save. And he has saved a wretched man like me. For that, I cry Hosanna. I cry thank you, Lord, for taking me out of the mire and the muck. But I also thank him for his word. It's amazing. All these things laid out in this one man's life, thinking that it was just to deliver his brethren, but in reality, too, it was to reveal again Christ to a fallen world. Now we can go back to Stephen. Just as Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hey, scribes and teachers, Psalm 22. Stephen also says, oh, let me tell you about Joseph, whom you didn't recognize the first time. Just as you didn't recognize the greater Joseph. Let it not be said about us. If there's any application to this, let us continue our worship. Joining, if you will, the rocks and the hills and the trees, all creation and the angels themselves, of giving glory and honor to him who is forever and ever, who has saved us all from a trying time, yes, but even more so from our own sin and our own selves. Let it be as we go through this week to remind ourselves, Hosanna, Hosanna. And remember that by the hearing of the word, by the understanding of going through even this scripture right here in this short time, that your faith, if your heart is open, has grown. That a book and a man that lived centuries ago, thousands of years ago, again was a picture of Christ. Now, all these things, Paul tells us, happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And in Romans, he says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. I beseech thee. I call to thee. Have hope. Let's pray. Father, just thank you again for this time. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Thank you, Lord, for the glory that is ours, that is in Christ. I pray, Father, that as we come to the time of fellowship, of partaking of bread, Lord, that we'd all be reminded of these truths, that you, Lord, have saved each of us because of the cross. That you have given us the privilege to recognize who he is. But Lord, I pray daily that would be the case for all of us, that we recognize who he is and that he has never and never will leave us nor forsake us. That he is the good shepherd, that he is the one that died and took our penalty, that he is the one that forgives us in spite of ourselves, that he is the one that will bring us to his bosom to be with forever and ever. Lord, thank you for this morning. And thank you for the time that we can spend together. We ask all of these things in the glorious name of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.